All right, you guys ready to rock?
Ready to rock.
Okay.
Closing main breaker.
And you know what that means, boys and girls.
It's time for the Chico
Show.
Woo!
All right.
We got it. Special show today.
Yep, very special.
Special show today. Let's see, this is the this is Super Tuesday.
Yes, it is.
And we don't have
did
any...
Did you win, Jimmy?
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. No. It's Super Tuesday. And of course, we don't... This is about 5 o'clock or 6... No, about 7 o'clock in the evening.
Right.
And so we don't have a clue. The polls have, like, just closed in maybe a couple of states
right.
on the East Coast. No clue what's happening on the West Coast. I have deliberately not watched a thing on TV because I wanted... It's like taping the Super Bowl, which I did last. I didn't watch the Super Bowl.
Right.
I taped it and then watched it twice. I had to watch it once for the ads.
Right.
And then watch for the actual game.
Yeah.
And, of course, actually...
Good game.
I skipped to the end.
Oh.
So I wanted to see how it came out.
Somebody won.
Yeah, somebody won. No, it was, last minute and a half or whatever it was.
Wow, it was pretty.
But anyway, here's the deal. We have today a mucho special guest.
Super aficionado.
Very, very special friend. Will Hammond.
I feel the love.
That's right. Will, and the Hammond, that's the Hammond
that's
that
the
we know
Hammond
and love.
Organ.
That is the
Hammond organ.
The real Hammond. And we, what about your organ again, you said?
I said Hammond's the name. Surely you've played with my organ.
Right. Exactly. And but we're missing Counselor Curtis, and Jack Rhodes had, we left him off today, too. So
I have no idea where everybody is.
No idea where they are. So it's just the three of us in engineering.
Hey, we'll make it happen.
No, we'll make it happen. We had a lot of neat stuff today.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe by the time this thing is over, we'll find out who won or didn't win, or I don't know what the deal. But a couple of things here I did want to, before we actually get started, a couple of shout-outs.
Okay.
We did get from Bart about vanity plates. We're going to talk about those.
Right.
And a couple other things. Now, Bart, is Bart the one who sends the naked pictures?
Yeah.
He wants to make sure we read his stuff.
That'll get your attention.
He gets our attention. That's right. That's it. And I'm thinking, if this is what makes people read, maybe they ought to use this in the elementary schools.
I was thinking about getting a bigger monitor.
Yeah. That's it. I mean, something at least a bit larger, many pixels, okay? I would like to get those pictures that take about an hour to download. Large pictures, okay?
Well, we did some of that today.
Yeah.
I went to, Will taught Photoshop Advanced class today, and I went there and hung out and sapped all his knowledge down.
That's right. What is that, about an eight-hour show or something you do over there?
Yeah. I mean, we have a good gig. I tell people that by the end of the day, they'll feel like they've been drinking from a fire hose.
I think a lot of people walked out of there pretty wet.
Yeah, they're all glazed over.
Glazed over. And they'll remember every word.
Yeah, we have these people right on there. Arg, head exploding, must warn other... And it just kind of trails off.
Must warn other... So tomorrow you're going to be in Orlando?
Yeah, our schedule's pretty much laid out by a drunken sailor, man.
Okay.
We're, we were in Pensacola, and now we're here, and tomorrow Orlando, and then who knows?
And you've been doing Photoshop for...
Since 1990, it's almost Photoshop's 16th birthday.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
You started with Photoshop 1 or 2 or 3?
Actually, I just started before that. I started at...
beta test.
I sold a device to ILM, and Tom and John Knoll developed the software.
From ILM? Really? Oh, you know those people.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, we can stop the show right now.
They probably don't remember me anymore.
Can we get invited to their parties or something?
I can't get invited to their parties.
No, I'm not talking about you.
Oh, yeah. They had some great parties.
No, I'm talking about us.
Yeah, only one of them.
You get us invited? You have to understand the way this works.
Yeah, I've been pushing pixels a long time.
Yeah.
It's a damn good show, though.
That's great. And we got Scott in Pennsylvania sent us some stuff.
Cool.
And, Bernie, of course, our Bernie. Now, Bernie, we need to talk to Bernie.
Yep.
Bernie sent us some stuff. Apparently, Bernie has decided that Scientology is a good deal. And didn't we send him the audio of a blur?
Elron
from 1954 or something he was talking about. It's like a 25-minute audio.
Right.
I'm telling you, it gives gibberish a bad name. I mean, it really does. It's unbelievable.
Well, who knows? We'll deal with that later.
Right. And Hangar Dogs, of course, they just issued a new show like today.
Right.
And by the time this gets posted, it'll be like 2 days old or something. They sent us some stuff that we want to talk about. And our unknown agent, Eric in D.C.
Right.
Did we talk about this last time? We now have an undercover agent in D.C.?
I don't know if we talked about it or not.
Well, anyway, we do. We yeah. now have. We
oh,
ha-
no, we did. We mentioned.
We have. We
yeah,
now.
We mentioned his name and put his picture on our website.
Oh, oh that, and his address.
Yeah.
And with, didn't we do a Google Maps with
yeah,
a pin,
yeah,
pin with a pin on
you
his
are here.
That's
big
right.
X.
Other than that, he calls himself one of the jackbooted thugs.
Right,
he actually
right,
works,
right.
I think, in some government agency.
Yep.
Some.
Probably. The one that's probably outside right now.
Yeah, you know, that one, yeah. Okay. And so anyway, that's...
he goes by the alias Mr. Anonymous.
Yeah, that's right. No, he does. And then Rick from East Coast has sent us some stuff, too. But we're starting to really get the email.
That's really cool, too. I guess Kyle, again, is telling some friends because it spilled over in Australia.
Yeah, I noticed that. We finally got Australia. Yeah. We had a record month last month.
Yeah, big time.
We were like 20 or 30% over our normal... thing. So that means that we only did like two shows last month. So yeah, I think next month, if we do no shows, we ought to really have...
Send it through the roof.
Yeah, exactly. But we had New Zealand, Germany, Finland, Indonesia, Estonia.
Mm-hmm.
Bunch from UK. Right. I guess Bernie must be telling his friends over there. Poland, Canada, United Arab Emirates.
Which we need to talk about later, with the vanity plates.
The vanity plates,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. And now that was...
That
yeah,
came from Bart. Yeah.
That came from Bart, right. And Australia, finally. I guess that's spilling over from Kyle down there.
Right,
and
right.
Maybe they
maybe Simon,
sent up
yeah.
a balloon or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Sweden, Yamina Vanetti's Feria, you know, as usual. Ireland, Chile. I mean, it's just... it's on and on.
Yeah, and you know, if you live in these cities, you know, and you take a picture with somebody running around with a Jimmy Doan bumper sticker, send it to us.
Yeah. No, yeah. We'll post it.
Definitely.
We'll have some fun with that. Yep. But anyway, it's amazing to see how we're doing. Anyway, this, as I say, the stuff that happened today
mm-hmm.
is the budget came out. exactly. Three. I love this part. They want to cut taxes and they raise the budget. And I'm thinking, I'm trying to figure out how that works. $3.1 trillion.
Well, if they cut taxes and waited a while, they could raise the budget, could let the economy get going.
Well, there's a big battle on about yeah. that. They're having apparently they cut a deal with the House, and then the Senate, you know, they want to put the Senate wants to expand the stimulus package, which is a joke. It's unbelievable. I mean, it is stunning.
Little tiny thing, Mr. Luto.
Yeah, no, I'm telling you.
Well, spend ourselves rich, as we talked about.
No, they want to do that, and I think I've got a thing here. Where was it? I have lost it, and that's good. Cuba's housing market booms. Bush's three. It had to do with the fact that the Senate wants to increase the. It was an editorial. That's what it was. There was an editorial. Here it is. I got it right here, and it is stunning to me. It's New York Times,
mm-hmm.
who one of their favorite. Op-ed piece people is what's his name, the Keynesian commie guy, Paul what's his name, and I can't remember. Anyway, he's the last of the Keynesians. Anyway, he's one of their big economic
the last
right, he's the last one.
Mm-hmm.
And but
you don't think they're gonna make any more?
I mean, this is, well, he's so wrong. I mean,
that's probably why he's last.
Yeah, that's right.
How do they teach that stuff in college?
No, and
not
only that, here's I'm reading here from the January 23rd op-ed contributor, Make the Tax Cuts Work. It's funny to see how this the way they want to make the tax cuts work is to repeal them. And I'm serious, repeal the Bush tax cuts 2 years early in 2009. And it is amazing to me to see how these people, this is an editorial, big long editorial by somebody who purportedly knows what they're talking about. And what they are saying, I find this amazing. Similar efforts in 2001, 2002 had mixed results. But as long as the tax breaks are temporary, they wouldn't do much long-term economic harm. And I'm finding to me that tax cuts are supposed to do long, if you cut taxes, it's harmful for the budget. It might be harmful for the budget. It's not harmful for the rest of us. Said the president's proposal would leave out 37% of the households because they did not earn enough to pay income taxes. And that's what the Senate wants to do, of course, is to pay people who never paid any income taxes, give them a, quote, rebate.
Rebate,
of,
yeah.
Of course, where's the bait? Before you give them a rebate, they got to have a bait, it seems to me. I'm not sure about that. Anyway, the whole idea is they're supposed to spend the money as if that's a good thing. If, you know, people that's, if you save the money, no good. Spend the money, good. And it just doesn't it doesn't make any sense. And I don't want to go into big details on this right now, but anybody that does any real economics would know that that's... Let me put it this way. The capitalist system depends on capital. Capital depends on savings. There is no other way around it. Spending doesn't... Savings is what is the most important thing. And what they... Of course, this $3.1 trillion budget has already admitted to a $400 billion debt, which China, we're hoping they're going to buy up the debt. You know, at some point in time, China's going to choke on it. Anyways, and they're worried that most of the benefits would go to the rich and the group least likely to spend the money. Yeah, because they might invest it. in jobs and stuff, and the way they wouldn't want that. If people knew that their tax rates were going up, now here's the deal. But if they were repealed in a year, the Bush tax cuts could spur a burst of economic activity in 2008. This is what I love about this. If people knew that their tax rates were going up next year, they'd work to make sure that more of their income is taxed at this year's lower rates. Investors likewise have a giant incentive to cash out their capital gains now to avoid paying higher taxes later. And they go on, if people pour their stock gains into yachts and fast cars, that's pure fiscal stimulus. I mean, it's so funny that they rail on the rich, and yet the people that are going to make this economy go are the people that buy yachts and fast cars.
Exactly. Average person's just trying to pay their phone bill.
Yeah.
And they're not going to think about whether they're going to, you know, have a tax this year or next year. They just want to make sure there's food on the table. And as soon as the tax rebate runs out, so does the spending.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's exactly right. And somehow it is amazing to me how they denigrate something, or they deride something called trickle down economics. It is how, because what they're saying is, oh, the rich people have all this money and it trickles down to the poor people who eventually spend the money. And of course, what the government does is to grab the money from the rich people and hand it to the poor people. No trickle down. It's like a waterfall. I mean, they skip the middle part. So it's not trickle down. It's fall down, or whatever you want to call it. I don't know what
force
you call
it. Force it down your throat.
Yeah, force it down your throat. And somehow the idea that poor people are going to spend money instead of other people saving money is a good thing, and I never have quite understood that. And as you say, I was talking to somebody today on the street, and they said when they got their check, the first thing they're going to do is pay off a credit card. And I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to go out and squander it on a new something. I don't know, a DVD
a new credit card.
Yeah, on a new credit card. That's right.
Yeah, that's like the old joke. Is, you know, you don't want to take your money out of the bank. That's old money. You want new money. You don't want to touch that old stuff.
Yeah, no, that's right. It's like it ages like wine, maybe. I don't know. It becomes moldy. I don't know. So anyway, that's the budget. Of course, they have no clue. It's the same old, and we're going down the toilet, and let's make a run for a foreign country. Okay. Exactly. I do have a couple of things here that we'll kind of go through this stuff quickly, one by one. A global warming update. China battles the coldest winter in 100 years. Millions remain stranded in China on Monday ahead of the biggest holiday of the year as parts of the country suffered the coldest winter in a century. Freezing weather has killed scores of people and left travelers stranded before the Lunar New Year or Spring Festival. What is this, the year of the what? Does anybody have any idea?
The year of the jackass, as far as the election is concerned.
Wait, that's the truth. It's either the elephant or the jackass. I don't know. We're going to find out. Yeah, that's right. But anyway, apparently they had that one holiday a year. But it's interesting because the Beijing Olympics are in 6 months. Mm-hmm. And they're a little panicky about the electricity, I guess, or something like that. But we have to be clear-minded that inclement weather and severe disaster will continue to plague certain regions in the South, said a statement issued. Relief work will continue to face challenges, posing a tough task. I'm reading this thing, and it sounds like just what the commissars would say. It is still necessary to alert remain for possible low temperatures.
To alert remain.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But climate change could see more extremes in weather, said Zheng, Zheng. No kidding. Boy, I tell you, this guy's really got a handle on the weather. They talk about one person was killed in a stampede at the Guangzhou Railroad Station in the south as people rushed to board trains. And what they did on this, the United States has decided to send $150,000.
Wow.
Boy, I tell you.
Big spender.
In relief aid, yeah.
Yep.
Xinhua said,
of course, what's their annual income over there?
Well, that's right. That's half of China, right? They all get money. That's right. As several other countries said, and the other countries, instead of sending money, they sent a note that says, we're sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Condolence messages. Without power, the only way they get information is, what's SMS? With some kind of messaging thing?
Yeah, it's like a text messaging system.
Okay, apparently that's the only thing that's working these days over there. Hmm. China has largely avoided unrest throughout the crisis, in part due to 519,000 soldiers and more than 1.6 million paramilitary police that have been deployed through the country to help with disaster relief and crowd control.
Now, were they affected by any of the
underwater cables that were cut, the fiber optic cables that shut off the internet.
What was that exactly?
Well, apparently, it's
a plot. Somebody said it was a conspiracy theory.
Right, and they're saying there were no ships near this. The final fiber optic cable for the internet was severed, and it cut Iran off completely, like they would notice. And, you know, I guess
they're
India,
getting ready to send a rocket up.
Yeah, that's true. India was cut off for part, and I want to say Russia was cut off for part. I saw the article this morning, and they said that there were no commercial vessels anywhere near where the cables were cut.
So there's non-commercial vessels.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Think about it. Let's just think about it. It's underwater, non-commercial, no commercial vessels. That would pretty much leave
luxury
it.
Submarines.
Yeah, luxury submarines.
Absolutely.
Somebody got
it. That's what it is, with a big pair of scissors on the front end.
That's right. I guess.
Hey, is this the cameraman? Yeah, cool.
Send Jim Carrey down there. The cable guy.
The cable guy.
So do they fix it?
Yeah, your problem.
No, they don't know how to fix it, I guess, at this point. They're not positive where the break is. I guess there were four main trunks. Three of them somehow got cut, and there was one left, and it suddenly vanished. Sunday afternoon, I guess.
I'd say
so they didn't get to watch the Super Bowl or hear anything about it.
Iran didn't get to watch Super Bowl.
No, they didn't.
Oh my God! And so many of those ads were targeted to them too.
Yeah, you know,
We're going to talk about. Did you see the ads? Did you
no,
see
Super? I actually
saw some of them.
Okay, I want to talk about that. I want to swing into that. Let me finish this up. Let me just finish the. As always, we've talked about before. The last sentence in a story. Here is the China Daily quoted an economic planning official as saying power plants in Beijing and Shanghai had only enough coal to last for 7 days. But top economic planners in the country had reversed a sharp decline in coal reserves. There was enough coal on Saturday to generate for the entire country for 8 days.
Oh, that's much better.
Yeah. Boy, not 7 days. Up to 8 days. Woo!
So we're okay for the Olympics to be all right?
Yeah, exactly.
For 8 days?
That's right.
The buses are going to be busy in 7 days leaving China.
That's right. Maybe they have that. So anyway, let me switch over to the Super Bowl for a second. I taped it. Right. Rather than watch it.
I DVD'd it and watched it.
Okay, well, I skipped through to the end to see how it came out.
Mm-hmm. You know, it was one of those things
on
one hand, I wanted the Patriots to win because I wanted them to, after a good season. But on the other hand...
You loved the underdog upset.
I did.
Yeah,
you know,
I did too.
I wanted to see the little guy knock off, the big guy. And I've always been that way, of course.
Well, and Eli was he's the little brother for Peyton.
He is, and he's lived in his brother's shadow for so long.
Why not this?
And he has just blossomed this year. Yeah, of course, we don't have professional sports in Kansas City where I live because we have the Royals and the Chiefs. So,
what do you call that?
Not professional. We're mathematically eliminated before the season starts.
Why? Oh,
man.
Oh my God! Well, no, but I did watch it. It's funny because they were going through which ads people liked, and I thought the best ad was a PSA. It was the drug ad. The kid that was out by the
phone booth.
Yeah,
yeah.
I thought that was the best ad. and nobody picked that one. And that was a PSA, And the last line that kid did, he was perfect for the part.
Right.
Hey, don't look at me. Yeah, I mean, it's because they no drugs out of your medicine cabinets or whatever it is.
But, our economy's in the dumper when they're only spending $2.7 million for a 30-second spot or 15-second spot.
30-second, yeah. 2.7, yeah, right. It's in the dumper, all right. Mm-hmm. Well, some of them, you look at some of the ads, and every year this happens. But some of the ads, I'm looking at them like, what were they thinking? I mean, you paid $2.7 million for what?
Well, I saw that one, that Hyundai ad. They're coming up with a 375-horsepower car.
Yeah, I know.
I was blown away. Like, Hyundai?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that like one up from Yugo?
Yeah. No, but apparently, they said, summer 2008, they're supposed to have, Lexus look out.
Oh, and the Audi was pretty smoking.
Audi
too.
Smoking.
Yeah. I mean, I was impressed with both those car companies.
But do you remember how crappy the Honda was when it first came to the United States?
It wasn't the Honda. The Datsun was the one.
The Datsun was
that was the
too.
One that was really a piece
they
of crap.
They kept reinvesting and reinvesting, yeah. To push their way farther and farther up the scale.
Yeah.
And you say to yourself, at what point do we not need any more luxury cars? I'm a car enthusiast, and I would love to have the biggest, baddest hot rod on the block, but I'd drive an electric car if it let me drive a Cobra on the weekend, have that need.
Well, the thing about it is, I just don't see why everybody doesn't have at least two or three cars. You got to have three, it seems
absolutely.
To me.
Absolutely.
You got to have a convertible.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that is a hot rod convertible chick mag thing.
Chick mag thing.
Right.
Then you got to have something big to haul crap around in.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got to have one, that you use as a spare when you want to be incognito.
That's true.
And Jimmy Doan is better than a cold shower.
What's better than a cold shower? It doesn't take much to be better than a cold shower. Faint praise, as we say.
Yeah.
Oh, Jimmy!
Okay.
What's next, Jimmy?
Okay, well, what's next? Let's talk about the drug war.
Drug war?
You know, it's interesting. This is Mexico. We have no Hugo update this week. Hugo hasn't done anything for a while, which is surprising. Hmm. But at least we can get down into Mexico. Las personas en Mexico. Okay, anyway, these days it's easy to form the impression that a war is going on in Mexico. Thousands of elite troops in battle gear stream toward border towns and snake through the streets in jeeps with 50 caliber machine guns mounted on top, while fighter jets from the Mexican Navy fly reconnaissance missions overhead. Gun battles between federal forces and drug cartel members carrying rocket propelled grenade launchers have taken place over the past 2 weeks in border towns like Rio Bravo and Tijuana, with deadly results. Well, what this, of course, tells me, I don't know if you people are probably too...
Badges? We don't need no stinking badges. Oh, no.
That's exactly... That is, I love that. Oh, my God. The deal is, of course, the drug war has only been going on for, let's see, 71, I think, was the first drug czar.
And they won real quickly after that.
Yeah, no, I mean, you would think about it.
Declared the war is over.
Yeah, that's right.
No, it is amazing to me that when you figure out the war on drugs, and what are the other wars that they've declared? War on poverty.
War on poverty was another one.
We've been pushing for the war on education.
You're right. Yeah. That's the only way to get the education because otherwise education.
Obviously, they need to declare a war on the rich.
Yeah.
Get more rich. Right.
But I mean, it's phenomenal. It's been 30 years, over 30 years for the war on drugs. Now, of course, when you look at the way it's escalating up, I mean, one of the problems they have in Mexico, of course, is that all the police are on the take, the local police, for decades, corrupt municipal police officers and drug gangs have worked together in relative peace. I mean, it's been a peaceful thing.
Mm-hmm.
The drugs have been just peaceful as any. Now they're upsetting the thing by the federales. They're coming in, and in Rio Bravo, for instance, the state police station sits across the street from a walled compound that until recently was used as a safe house by Zeta gunmen. I mean, you know, and now the federales are coming in there and ruining the place. I'm just looking here at this article. It's a fairly lengthy article, but it's interesting how they're clamping down. One of the things that they've lost is 6 million tourists are not showing up in Mexico. And, of course, that's the economics are still what is going to finally put an end to the war on drugs down there, I'm guessing. The violence has spread to the United States. Well, duh. And I love this, the part that they are all upset about. The Zetas, this is one of the drugs, I guess, drug cartels, are defying the state, said Jorge Chabat, an expert on narcotics traffic and security at some Mexican research group. This operation in the North Mexico in recent days has no precedent. The problem, he says, lies with the state police. They're completely at the service of these guys. And now what they're doing is the federal police are stopping any car with two or more young men in it and tinted windows. So they've done that here, I guess. Anyway, but I love this. Though the big bosses have slipped through the dragnet, the offensive that started with the Zetas in late November, after a prominent local politician was murdered, has paid off in many respects. The police have arrested about 40 people of a gang and seized dozens, mind you, dozens of guns, rifles, sidearms, grenades, and boxes of ammunition. Boy, I'll tell you, that'll put a dent in things, won't it? Dozens, mind you.
They're coming in by the tens.
That's right. They're coming in by the tens. And, of course, what people are saying is all the federal forces have accomplished, they say, is unleashing more violence. As people living in this one guy says, well, living in Mexico has become very difficult. Even Colombia is looking pretty good.
But don't you really think the issue is not a restricting drug? We need to give them more drugs.
I've always said this, that the way I was one of those, I have a dream. And my dream is to go down somehow, and if I could find like an anti-grav machine or something where you could go down there and load up about 50 tons of coke and then fly it over to Miami and just drop it.
Right.
You know, and just everybody gets it at one time.
Right.
Just everybody, just bury them in it.
And as soon as it isn't worth anything, nobody's going to kill each other.
Well, not only that, you will also have a little of the Darwinian elimination, you know, thinning of the herd.
Agreed.
People that the people that are the total addicts will get rid of them right there on the spot.
Right.
And then that's it. Done, right. Done, and done. No more corrupt police. No more, you know, drive-by shootings. The people that are the drug addicts are not there anymore.
Right.
Or they're underground.
Right.
Really.
Or Jack Rhodes wants to fly over with a fleet of bombers and just drop pot seeds everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, and have them just growing everywhere.
Johnny pot seed.
I never understood the problem. The gang wars are shooting each other up, killing each other. What's the problem? As long as you don't kill anyone else while you're shooting each other up. I don't mind.
That's the whole thing on this thing in Mexico. That's what I was mentioning, was that apparently they've lived in relative peace for quite some time, so to speak, just, you know, shoveling the stuff up through the border into the United States. I mean, it's an arms race. There's no question. It is exactly like an adaption. No matter what you do, no matter how many walls you build, no matter how many people you put on it, the stuff, if there's a demand that's going to get through, the price. And what's interesting about it, of course, is that the price hasn't gone up. In fact, I think it's gone down, hasn't it? Somebody was telling me that the price actually is less than it used to be.
Probably less for the quality.
Right, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
Well, I do know that, and of course, one of the things that's happened is that now some of the get high stuff, one of the new highs, for instance, is what's the cough medicine? You overdose on
Robitussin.
Robitussin, yeah. Mm-hmm. They have a name for that now.
What that's not new, Jimmy. That's like 20 years old.
but I just heard about it.
You're right on top of things.
But wait a minute. I just heard about it.
But you know what's really causing the influx in cocaine, for example, is coffee.
Is what?
Is coffee. I was reading this article in a flight magazine last fall, and they said that the wholesale price of coffee has dropped from $2.49 to about 79 cents a pound in the last 5 years. And I guess there are four or five major coffee importers in the United States. And Vietnam has come on stream with cheap coffee. So what they're doing is they're forcing the Colombians to match that price, or they won't buy the Colombian coffee. Well, the Colombians were raising coffee instead of cocaine. And they said, well, we can't match the price. And yet the retail price of coffee, even though the wholesale price has dropped by 2/3, has quadrupled in that same time. So people get all whacked out and jittery on caffeine from coffee. Now the Colombians are growing more coca leaves for cocaine. It's all Starbucks' fault.
That's it. No, it is. And I, of course, I understand. Well, now the big deal
was $4. It's $4. I'm sorry.
Right.
You call it. I'm sorry.
$4.
$4.
Not Starbucks.
No, $4. $4. It's about $4.
Yeah, $4 for a cup of coffee.
Okay, that's and they're renaming Starbucks $4.
We should.
Okay,
yeah.
It's my understanding, of course, that the main use for coffee is to disguise the cocaine that's inside the same barrel.
Could very well be.
Mm-hmm. So it fools the dogs. I mean, that what somebody said.
It was on Beverly Hills Cop. It's got to be true.
Got to be true.
Right.
That's right. I knew.
The tails are wagging really fast.
That was the documentary on Beverly Hills.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
No, I saw that. That was. The beginning of that movie was just great.
Yes.
Think about that when the movie started. Anything else you got? I got a couple things here.
I want to talk about my theory on Al Gore causing global warming.
Oh, that's right. Did I say that I had a global warming update, too? I want to talk about that.
Yeah, and you know, when you get right down to it, I never let the facts get in the way of a good story.
No.
But I did do some R research. And, you know, I got to thinking about how Al Gore invented the internet, and yet he scored a Nobel Prize slamming everyone else for global warming. I think Al Gore caused global warming, and I have
in
some,
order to get the in order to get the award.
Yeah, but now think about I never thought about that, but that's true too.
If you're gonna go after the award, the Nobel whatever it is, or the Oscar or whatever it is, you would start way back. Okay, go ahead.
Find a need and fill it. You're exactly right. That's great. Well, now think about this. Ever since 1992, the internet has grown at approximately 37% per year. Okay?
Compounded.
And compounded. Now, last year, over 190 million Americans had access to the internet. 63% of those were wireless connections. Now, let's do some math here. If approximately 2.5 people per machine, we're still talking about 80 million computers and monitors. That's a lot of electricity.
Mm-hmm.
Something's got to make the electricity to produce that internet connectivity.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that your carbon effect right there? Now, you think about this. Then you got the wireless routers. That's burning more energy. Then you got people with their cell phones creating radiation from their cell phones and talking too much. They're surfing on their iPhones and their Blackberries and their Raspberries and all those other things. Al Gore created this internet as a way to push his agenda in order to get a Nobel Prize. If he hadn't invented the internet, we wouldn't have a problem. We wouldn't be wasting all our time on computers.
Boy, isn't that the truth. What would we be wasting our time doing, he asked.
Yeah, I really don't know.
We'd probably go to the sock hop or go to the old...
malt shop.
Malt shop, exactly.
You know, I saw this deal. They were talking this morning. There are now estimated to be 155 million websites, not pages, websites. Some of those have tens of thousands of pages.
Right.
That's like 100 times the entire Library of Congress.
Where do they store
combined
all those pages anyway? I mean, don't they take up a lot of room?
Yeah, because most of them are porn sites, and it's huge.
That's true.
You know,
yeah, but nobody stays on those for more than about, 6 minutes?
Yes. Yeah, but they still have a big library.
Yeah.
It's still a lot of bandwidth, you know, video versus whatever, you know, yeah. Chat room video. You know.
That's true. And, you know, back in the days of AOL when they used to deliver your bill on an armored car.
I had that.
Yeah, I remember back in the early 90s, people, couldn't make their car payment because their AOL bill was so right. high. And, you know, all I could think of was never get excited about a blind date by the way it sounds over the phone. You know, every one of them.
I love this. It sounds over the phone.
Yeah.
I don't know if it makes animal sounds. I don't know.
That's it. You know, you can't tell fat over an internet connection.
Oh, my God. Well, yeah, and of course, you always see the, when you even look at some of this stuff here, I guess, I never have quite understood that's the, I guess that is the attraction for phone sex, is that
you don't have to look at them.
You don't have to look at them. That's right. You always, you know, she could be grandma, who knows what.
I don't know. You could probably tell grandma's voice.
Our grandma, you could, yeah. But, yeah, but
that's just wrong.
I had something. You mentioned, let's see, you just mentioned something, and I lost
global warming, you were going to
talk? No, just the Al Gore inventing the internet thing. Because I remember I was on CompuServe instead of AOL.
Mm-hmm.
And that bill, I don't think that bill was awfully.
It was like $5.95 an hour or something like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we first started in the Photoshop biz, that was the only interconnectivity we had with each other because we were scattered kind of all around the world. We used to log in on Tuesday nights in this Photoshop chat room at 6 o'clock Eastern, and it would go till 2 a.m. Pacific time every Tuesday night. And at $6 an hour, that used to really add up because that didn't, you know, you're talking about a way before 14-4 modems. I mean, you're talking about, you know, 3,600 baud. It would take you all day to download one file that was the size of a postage stamp.
Yeah.
And we take things for granted. Now, you know, you got hard drives now that, we were talking about computers, you know, your new fancy Macintosh over there.
Right.
You started in Macs before I did, but my first machine was a monster. You know, my first machine was, you know, 89, and it was $27,000 for a Mac.
Yeah.
And it had 2 40-meg hard drives that were $1,500 each.
Yeah.
You can buy a terabyte now for $300.
Yeah, that's what I got here.
Who needs that much?
You know,
This sounds like my first
machine.
My first computer had an ASR33 on it, and you know, and I was running at 110 baud with paper tape. Oh, you cannot imagine. No, I'm thinking about it because you saw here in the other room where I've got my Apple IIe,
right?
And of course that's 64K of memory, 243K floppies, 143K floppies, a monitor, and a couple of other things, and a 300 baud Hayes modem, and a 80 characters per second Epson printer, which was as loud as you cannot imagine, And that whole setup was like $4,500.
Fascinating.
It is absolutely scary when you look at the money.
And I'm restoring one now. You know, it's not that much anymore. No, that was like real money back then too. When you think about it, you were saying this stuff was in 1996, and of course since then inflation or whatever is like damn near doubled everything. So $6 an hour is like $12 an hour today. I mean, I did see where I think it's Cisco has just come out with a new router that's supposed to have a speed increase of like 100 times here in the next couple of years. We're supposed to have a speed increase of about 100 times over the current stuff, which is, of course, Moore's Law.
Age of Spiritual Machines, people.
Age of Spiritual Machines.
Get on Reddit or listen to it. Get the book, Greg Kurzweil. Go to our website. You can link it to it. It links to Amazon.
And, you know, we were talking earlier about the fact that with this technology, we make it easier and easier on ourselves. Is there no wonder that we're all big as houses? We've got a push-button world, but I love it. I love doodads and gadgets. I can't get away from
them. No, it's my new addiction since I stopped drinking. But speaking of fats, of course, sitting around, I saw this interesting article from who was it that sent us the Mississippi bands? One of our listeners sent us in the business. Mississippi politicians seek to ban fats, not trans fats, all fats. Mississippi, this is February 1st.
Like the molecule fat?
Yes.
Really?
Mississippi legislators this week introduced a bill that would make it illegal for state-licensed restaurants, which are all of them, of course, to serve obese patrons. Bill number 282, of copy of which you'll find below, and I did print it out, is a brainchild, and I think that's, I'm not sure the word brain is in there. Child is okay, I'm sure, but of three members of the state's House of Representatives, Republicans, so forth, they give their names. The bill, which is likely dead on arrival, proposes that the state's Department of Health establish weight criteria after consultation with Mississippi's Council on Obesity. It does not detail what penalties an eatery might face if its grub was served to someone with excessive body mass index. But, I mean, can you imagine? I'm looking here at the bill. Any food established, this provision of this section shall apply to any food establishments that required to obtain a permit from the State Department of Health and so forth. But basically it says if you walk in, I guess they, you know, whip out a tape measure or something.
Go!
I mean, Homer, you know, you don't get to eat out anymore.
Yeah, they got a body mass indicator that you step on before you walk through the door, you know, instead of the metal detectors at the airport.
And they prohibit, I guess, and of course one wonders, I wonder if they have a liposuction SWAT team that comes in there or something.
Liposuction.
Yeah, lipo SWAT team that comes in there if you're obese and want to go eat at the all-you-can-eat diner or something like that. I mean, I wonder what would happen if a restaurant opened up and only served watercress salads. I mean, if they would be allowed to feed obese people. You just sit here and look at this. A McDonald's, you know, you have the doors now. Instead of it, you have to be this tall to go on the ride.
You have if you can't fit through this door,
you can't eat right here. That's kind of thing. I mean, it's mind-boggling. They said that the bill was going to be dead on arrival. The scary part is that there are actually three people in Mississippi that are in the legislature, which is the coercive sector of the economy, who actually filed a bill. And I'm guessing, I looked on Snopes, apparently it's not a joke. I mean, they know it's not going to get passed. Right. But what happens, as you know, with all of this stuff, everything starts with an idea. And then finally they get people used to it, and then eventually it becomes a law.
But, Jimmy, let me ask you something. Is this going to really punish the restaurants, or is it going to punish the fat people? They're now not going to be able to go anywhere. They're going to become shut-ins and not going to be able to go out in public. Are they really trying to help these people?
No.
There'll be an underground fat internet, whatever, delivery system.
No, that's you can bet. I can tell you right now that the Domino's pizza are loving this. They're going to want this.
Heck yes.
There's no question.
Because it's not a restaurant.
No question. No question about it. I mean,
we'll take care of your needs.
Yeah, no, it's quick.
Domino's sales are going up, baby. Buy stock.
No, I mean, you're going to see Arby's and all these other people start their delivery service. We'll be there in 10 minutes. They will have...
That's good.
Yeah. I mean, Meals on Wheels will take a new meaning. I can tell you right now, if you think that's charity only, I mean, you could just see it right now. First of all, they bring the ATM to your door.
Yeah, right.
And then once they do that, once that guy leaves, they bring the food to your
door. You're going to see the first 18-wheel Domino's delivery truck.
No, that's it. It's a monster, and it's... We have a special, this is a whale blubber sausage pizza that is, when we talk about thick on this pizza, it's like a foot thick and a foot long. We have a sandwich that's made out of, we don't know what.
You're making a submarine sandwich made out of a real submarine.
That's right.
That's where we make our bread. We cut the submarine in
but
half.
You know, it's another example, though, of somebody dictating to somebody else who they can deal with. You know, I don't smoke. I don't care if somebody does smoke. That's their prerogative. If it's such a bad deal, make it illegal. Otherwise, leave people alone.
Well, they don't. They're not going to do it. And we have a bunch of things here locally. I was telling somebody here earlier. It is stunning to me, and I don't know how many people realize this. When I had kids, the seatbelt was my right arm, and you would put four kids in the front seat in the passenger seat. And you drive down the road, and if you went around a corner or started stopping at a stoplight, you shoved your arm out there to keep them from smashing their heads on the windshield or falling on the floor or whatever.
We used to lay up in the package tray of the back seat of the car.
No. In fact, my son, that's where he was all the time, was on that back, right under the window.
Yeah.
So anyway, but I don't know if you know this, but here in Florida, I think, there are, yeah. And I'm wondering how we ever made it this far, because here in Florida, we now have 4 levels of mandatory seat restraints. 4 levels of mandatory. That is,
we made it this far because they shouldn't be mandatory. Everything just works just fine.
Just get out of the way. But I mean,
thousands and thousands of children that have died over the last few years.
Oh my God! There's none
because
left.
They didn't have this law.
Yeah, they're all dead now.
Yeah, they're all dead.
I guess that's why the schools are no kids in the schools anymore because they're all dead.
That's it.
The thing about it is, when you think about it, they have a seat for the infant. Then they have the next step up, I forget what it is, and then they have a restraint for the 7 to 10-year-olds or something, and then finally...
Then they got Uncle Bob's lap. No, I'm...
But, I mean, the point is they can stop you.
Depends on how old the girl is, you know?
That's right.
Sit on this restraining device.
That's right.
Keep going.
Okay, and the show goes downhill from here.
Wow.
It started off pretty good. It went downhill. But I mean, it's phenomenal to me when you think about it. These are 4 levels of SWAT team offense. If they catch you, if you ride down the street, and I mean, people, your neighbors will turn you in. I mean, if they see you riding down the street with your kids staring out the window, not in the thing, they will dial 911 on their cell phone and say, I saw Mommy kissing. No, I saw this kid, and my neighbor, and they will arrest you. And I mean, and then not only that, then DCF will show up and take your kids away because you're child endangerment. I'm just stunned that we made it this
far. Unless you're blonde and a pop singer living in L.A.
Well, that's true too. They did. Well, now I haven't heard the latest.
She's in her custody or something.
She blew it off.
Well, yeah, but I mean, so you're saying she doesn't have her custody of her kids, but apparently, like her dad still has custody. Of, yeah.
Now, isn't she in the hospital?
No, she's out now.
What?
I think she just went in just for a little psych evaluation.
Tune up a little psych.
Yeah. Hey, now let's back up, Brady. I think she's great.
Should take care of her.
I do it too. I mean, Brady, if you're listening, sweetie.
Yeah, call
come
us.
On over here.
Yeah, call. Send me
866-95-JIMMY.
That's right.
Call us up. And we'll,
that's right. We did. That was the other thing that I think it was our undercover agent was that he was the one that called our show.
Yeah,
he called, left me a message.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was a couple days ago.
Right. It was probably traced through 14 satellites, but
No. Even though the number's listed, it's a toll free number, mm-hmm. and of course it comes through anonymizer to my computer.
Right.
So nobody knows where it goes. But he was great about leaving us a message.
All right, you want to take a quick break?
Yeah, let's take a break.
All right.
We've never done it this way with just guitars and we wanted to debut it here right now. If it's great, please call into the radio station and request it. If you don't like it, we're Fastball. And our bus broke down, and we're big babies.
So if you just cut us a break.
Train doing Drops of Jupiter, Tell Me is brand new music here on Cities 97.
That she's back in the atmosphere, drops of Jupiter in her hair. Summer in, walks like rain, reminds me that there's a time to change. Since the return of a stay on the moon, and she talks like June. Tell me, did you sail across the sun? Did you make it to the Milky Way to see the lights all faded and that heaven is overrated? Tell me, did you fall for a shooting star? One without a permanent scar, and did you miss me while you were looking for yourself out there?
Hey, this is DJ Laura, and you just listened to part one of the February 5th, 2008 Jimmy Doan Show. If you need part two, go to jimmydoan.com, iTunes, or your favorite podcast directory.